Hello, beloved. Welcome to this week's Bible study, where we're going to look at heaven. A study on heaven. Exciting. It's something that we are looking forward to. That is something that every single believer is looking towards, to know that there's going to be a day when we are going to be going to heaven to be with Christ Jesus forever and ever. Before we continue, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can look forward to that day when you come, when Jesus Christ returns to come and take us to be with him, and where he will take us to heaven to be with him forever and ever. And Father, thank you for your revelation, for your word that reveals to us what heaven is going to be like, and that we can know something about heaven. I pray as we do this study, Father, that you will open up your word to us so we may understand. Enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, now, what we're going to do is we're going to start this this Bible study with two basic, well, let's call it simple questions, but I believe important questions. The first one is, how much do you know about heaven? How much do you know about heaven? And the second question that kind of connects to that one is, how much of what you know about heaven is actually biblical? You know, there's so many people, there are so many people who think they know something about heaven, but in fact, what they know about heaven is not biblical at all. It's something that they might have heard in a sermon some other time, or they might have spoken about it around the campfire, or you know, in a general sense, spoke about it, but it's not what Scripture teaches about heaven. So I would like us to take some time and to basically study what Scripture teaches about heaven. All right? And I think it will be a good thing if we test every single idea that we have about heaven to what the Scripture teaches about heaven. Because remember that everything that we can get to know about heaven is revelation. I'm not saying it's in the book of Revelation. I'm saying it's revelation. Everything that anybody can know about heaven is revelation from God. God revealed it to us and he put it in the Bible so that we can understand or know something about heaven. Otherwise, we would know nothing about heaven. Okay. So let's get into our subject and let's have a look at what the Scripture teaches about this amazing subject called heaven. Now, the first thing that we need to know is that heaven, and now I need to kind of, let's say, I've got to step lightly here, because heaven was created by God, but heaven was not created by God. Okay, that doesn't make sense. But let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right, so what we see is, we see a basic summary of God's creation. So God created the heavens and the earth. The word heavens is plural. That's many. And the earth, singular. It's one. Now, when we work our way through the Bible, we basically find out that there are three heavens that the Bible speaks about. Okay, three heavens that are identified in Scripture. The first one is basically, let's say, the physical heavens. The first heaven is where we find the birds. That's the air. That's where we find clouds. That's where, in our context now, in biblical times, there were no planes, but now in our context, that's where planes fly. That's the first heaven. Then the second heaven is the expanse. That's where we find the planets and the stars and the galaxies and all those kind of things. That's the second heaven. But then there's a third heaven. And that third heaven is where God's abode is. That's where God is. And that heaven was not created by God. Okay? The first heaven and the second heaven, which means the first heaven where the birds are and the clouds are and that kind of thing, and the second one where the expanse is, the planets and the stars and the galaxies, created by God. in the beginning. Okay? But the third heaven, the abode of God, was not created by God. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the first and the second heaven, but not the third heaven. Because it already existed, because God existed from eternity. So I don't think we should look at heaven where God is in the sense of a physical place like earth, okay? Because God is outside of time and space. So heaven, the third heaven where God is, I can't explain it because it is too difficult to explain. But it's outside of time and space because God is there. Okay, so the third heaven where God is, it's outside of our time and space. Okay, and God did not create that heaven. That heaven existed with him. I can't tell you because the scriptures doesn't tell us whether God created that heaven. All right, and it's just as difficult to explain the fact that God is ever existing. He's eternal. Okay, that means he has no beginning and he has no end. Okay, so likewise, where God dwells must also be eternal, just like God is eternal. Okay, but it's not like the heavens that we look at and we call it heaven, you know, where the birds are and that kind of thing, where the galaxies are. Okay, so that's something that we just need to understand. The first heaven, second heaven, created by God, the third heaven, where God is, was not created by God. But it could be created by God. All right. I can't tell you because I don't think scripture reveals it to us. Well, I couldn't find it. I didn't find it in my preparation. Listen to Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. It says, "The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it." What we see here is the distinction between heaven where God is and heaven that God created. Because you see, it says, and he swore, raises up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever. Okay, so that's the heaven where God is. The heaven where God lives forever and ever, which means that heaven is forever and ever. And then he says, who created heaven? That's now talking about the physical heavens, now the first and the second heaven. All right, and the things that are in it, planets and the clouds and all the things and the stars and galaxies and all those kind of things. All right, so what we have here is the distinction between heaven where God is and heaven that God has created. Now, the angel raised his hand to make an oath to God in heaven. Right? And this heaven refers to the abode of God, because God is forever and ever. Right? And then we read about the heaven that God created with everything that is in it. And this, I mean, speaks about a different heaven, doesn't it? It speaks about the two heavens. Okay? And which means basically it is the created heaven that it speaks about. And the other one is God's dwelling place that's eternal forever and ever. All right, so first we see that God created heaven, okay, and specifically speaking about the first and the second heaven. And the third heaven, where God is, it's forever and ever. The next thing that we learn in scripture about heaven is that heaven is everlasting. Now, if you turn with me to Psalm 89, verse 29, we read the following. Psalm 89, verse 29. It says, "His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven." See those words? "His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven." Now, in this psalm, there is the reference to the firstborn. God says that he will make someone the firstborn, even though he was not the firstborn at that specific stage. Now, when God chose Israel, Israel was not the first nation to exist, but God chose Israel, and Israel, in a sense, was his firstborn nation. David was the firstborn among the kings because he had favor with God, even though he wasn't the first king. But he was like the firstborn king among kings because he was a man after God's own heart. And then Jesus Christ, the ultimate, he can be called the firstborn over all of creation. And Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 tells us that he is the firstborn among or over all of creation. Okay, so in verse 29, we read that the firstborn is said that his seed will endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. So what this verse actually tells us is that heaven is eternal. Can you see that? Now, this doesn't refer to the physical heavens, okay? Because the physical heavens will be destroyed by fire. Peter tells us very clearly. All right, so this physical heaven, the physical expanse that we see now where the birds are and the planes fly and that kind of thing, and the expanse, whatever, will all be destroyed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. All right? But the heaven where God's abode is, it is eternal. It's everlasting. Okay, that's what that passage tells us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 says the following. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house," this is our bodies, nah? "If our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Amazing. You see, when our earthly bodies die, we receive glorified bodies, basically, that will never, ever die. And Paul tells us that we will dwell in heaven eternally with our glorified bodies. Now, if our new bodies are eternal and we live forever in heaven, beloved, then it's clear. It means that heaven must be eternal. Now, because heaven must accommodate our eternal bodies. So in that sense, we can say that heaven is eternal. Heaven is everlasting. It's a beautiful thing to think about. We receive glorified bodies, and then with our glorified bodies, we go to eternal heaven to be with the Lord forever and ever. Ah, absolutely amazing. I think it's something that we can look forward to. Another thing that we learned from Scripture about heaven is that heaven is immeasurable. If you look at Jeremiah 31 verse 37, it says, "If heaven above can be measured, and the fountains of the earth," "and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord." Now, beloved, this is an amazing, this is a beautiful verse. Because what Jeremiah was doing was he was prophesying about the new covenant that God would make with Israel. Now, this covenant is so firm, it is so solid, that it can actually not be moved by anything. You see, God is the one who will fulfill this new covenant with Israel. And the only time that he will not fulfill this new covenant with Israel, and this is what the text says, is if it was possible to measure the heavens. But it's not possible to measure the heavens. I mean, when people talk about light years, it's so many millions and millions of light years away, or billions of light years away, or whatever. It's all speculation. Nobody can measure the heavens. Beloved, no one knows. It's immeasurable. God decided to do it like this. You see, if it was possible to measure the heavens, then God would break his promise to Israel, you know, the new covenant in Christ. God will never break his promise. So I believe that the heavens will never ever be able to be measured. People can make assumptions and they can say, oh, they think it's this far and that far, but people are very arrogant. So they say, oh, no, it's so many billions of light years away. That's nonsense. They don't know. They really don't know. There's no way that for them to know. All right. And even who can go under the earth and go and measure how deep it is or what is happening under the earth? We can go a certain distance and then we're stuck. Okay, so God so clearly, beautifully says, he says, if the heavens could be measured and under the earth could be measured, then he would break his covenant, his promise with Israel, the new covenant. Oh, this is so beautiful. Now, the heaven that Jeremiah speaks about in Jeremiah 31 basically refers to the physical created heavens. Ne? So if the physical heavens is immeasurable, beloved, think about it. How much more is the heaven where God is? Heaven where God is must be immeasurable because it's outside of time and space. It doesn't have distance. There is no time. There is no space, which means you cannot measure it from the one end to the other end. It's not possible because there is no measurement in God's presence. So it's just absolutely amazing. All right, so we learn from Scripture clearly that heaven is immeasurable. Another thing that we learn about heaven is that heaven is high. Psalm 103 verse 11. Psalm 103 verse 11 says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him." This is kind of figurative speech, now, to say that David basically is telling us that God's mercy is high above our understanding. And God shows mercy to those who fear him. You see, the light of God's mercy is compared to the height or the distance between heaven and earth. And this tells us that God's mercy is far above our understanding. Far, far above our understanding. And this is speaking about the physical heaven. Yeah? Now, if the physical heaven is far above our understanding, and God's mercy is so great, and remember that the Bible was written in a time where there was no space shuttles and airplanes and things that you could go up as high as you want to and go and see what was happening up there. Okay? So nobody knew what was happening up there. Right now, take a look at Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15, the second part. Isaiah 57 verse 15, the second part says, "I dwell in the height and holy place." "I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Shah, this is beautiful. You see, God dwells in the high and holy place. This is what the text tells us. This basically tells us that it tells us something about heaven, isn't it? That heaven is high and holy. Heaven cannot be reached by just mortal man because heaven is holy. Heaven cannot just be entered by anyone. Only those who are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, who have been sanctified and declared holy, declared righteous, that has received the imputed righteousness of Christ, those who have been made acceptable by God, they are allowed. Nah, they are able to dwell with God in heaven. That's what Isaiah is telling us, actually. Someone who is arrogant and think that he or she is worthy in him or herself cannot dwell with God in heaven. There is no place for the arrogant. There is no place for the prideful in heaven. Such a person cannot dwell with God in heaven, because heaven is too high for the proud, and it's too holy for the prideful. And yes, it's figurative speech. But beloved, we are going to enter into heaven. We are going to be in the presence of the Almighty God. Yes, we're going to have a new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, but we will be able to enter into the presence of the Almighty God. We will be in His presence forever and ever. And in that sense, as we are with the Almighty God in heaven, and we are in His presence, nothing that's unholy will be able to enter in. In a sense, we can say that heaven is too high for the unholy. Heaven is too high for the prideful. Heaven is too high for those who are arrogant. They can never ever reach heaven. But for those who have been made humble, for those who have been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, heaven has come near. Heaven has come close. Heaven is literally, when they die, they step into heaven. They just step through the door from this life into eternal life. Absolutely amazing. You see, one thing we need to understand about heaven is that heaven is far above whatever we think or pray. And as I said before, it's very hard to think of heaven, the abode of God, the third heaven, to think of heaven, because it is spiritual. It is not a place where there is time and space. Even when the Bible describes heaven to us, and it is something that is described to us that is beyond our understanding. So what God does is He puts it in terms so that we can understand it within our way of thinking. But heaven itself, where God is beyond our understanding. How can we as creatures understand the dwelling place of our Creator? We only understand a little bit of the place where the creation that God has created for us. And we're still searching and trying to find and understand this creation that is around us. But God, absolutely amazing, where He is far above our understanding. Beloved, and that's what's prepared for us. That's what God has for us. That's what God has in store for us. That's when God saves us by grace through faith in Christ alone, and He regenerates us. That's what He is. That's where He's going to take us, to heaven, to be with Him forever. All our loved ones that died in Christ, they experiencing a place that we don't even understand. All our brothers and sisters in the church who went before us, they are experiencing a blessedness that we don't even understand. Yet, we have a little bit of a revelation of what heaven is, and we looked at a few things in this Bible study. I hope it excites you, because there's more that we can learn about heaven. And God willing, next time we'll look at some more revelations of heaven from God's amazing word. Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your revelation. Thank You that we can study about heaven, something that is a place that is so far beyond our understanding. Yet there are little glimpses that we do receive. And thank You for Your Spirit that enables us to understand a little bit of Your place where You dwell. And Father, thank You that we can look forward to a day when we will receive glorified bodies, and that we will be able to be with You forever and ever, and that we will be able to enter into the third heaven, where the Apostle Paul said that he knows of someone that entered into the third heaven, into God's presence. He says whether it's in the body or whether it was not, he doesn't know. Father, because the third heaven is such a holy place where You are, because You are there. So I pray, Father, please, as we study Your revelation about heaven, will You make it real to us? And if there be anyone who is not saved, oh Father, may this be the day, maybe this be the moment where You draw them to Yourself and bring them to the point of salvation, so that we may one day be together with one another in heaven. Oh, Father, thank you so much for heaven. Thank you for what you've prepared for us, and thank you that you're so far above us, yet in Christ you've become close and near to us. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you and may he give you his peace. God willing, until next time, God bless and bye-bye.